do that right now. Go on to the Wake'em Way hotline and bring in the outstanding Buckeyes beat reporter at bucknuts.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Steve Hellwagon. He is Steve Hellwagon. Steve, thanks for making time for us. How are you today?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Well, tell us about Media Days, Big Ten Media Days last week. We were going to get you on, and then the Indians announced that they are going to be called the Gladiators now, unless the roller derby team won't let them do that. We'll have to wait and see on that, Steve. So we had to bump you till today. So take us back to Big Ten Media Days and what went down this year as compared to last year, obviously, with the pandemic.
Well, just to be able to meet in person, I think, was a win so far compared to what we had going on a year ago at this time when there was so much uncertainty about the season, and they changed it to a conference-only schedule and then canceled it and then brought it back with an abbreviated schedule, and it was just kind of a weird kind of a year, obviously, for college football. We're hoping for a little bit more normalcy, you would hope, as we get into the season, which Ohio State will start practicing next week, Thursday or Friday, I believe, and obviously the first game will be 4 weeks after that, September the 2nd, the Buckeyes will open at Minnesota, so we're just a matter of a few weeks away at this point, and basically it was 2 days of meetings. We had seven of the schools go the first day. Michigan was probably the featured attraction on day one, with Jim Harbaugh continuing to answer questions about when his program is ever going to contend again in the Big Ten, and how maybe they've taken a renewed interest in the Ohio State rivalry, given the fact Ohio State's won 16 of the last 18. Of course, the teams didn't play last year because the game was canceled. Michigan had some COVID issues and basically wrapped up the season early. They were 2-4 last year. Very disappointing season for Michigan. Ohio State won the Big Ten, got into the playoff, beat Clemson, everybody knows, and lost to Alabama in the championship game. So Ryan Day and Ohio State's three-player reps, they came along on Friday of last week and answered questions about the new direction of this team with a new quarterback and hopefully a renewed emphasis on defense. That'll be where Ohio State's got to put a lot of attention going into the 2021 season, is improving defensively. And so Coach Day spoke for a while on both those topics and just kind of set the tone, I suppose, for the start of practice coming up next week.
Steve, I want to three real quick, JT. Who were the three players that he talked to, or talked to you guys? Who were the three Buckeyes?
Well, you had the defensive end, Zach Harrison. He represented the defense. Then on offense, you had offensive tackle Thayer Munford and tight end Jeremy Ruckert. And Ruckert was a fill-in for wide receiver Chris Olave, considered one of the top receivers in the country. Olave did not appear there because he was scheduled to have his second dose of his COVID-19 vaccine. And there wasn't a lot of talk about, you know, the vaccine and how many guys on each team are going to be vaccinated and all these other things. We know Ohio State as a team was vaccinated, anybody who chose to accept it back in the spring. And interesting to hear that Olave is getting it now. And obviously it's a personal, you know, decision, and you just hope that that there won't be a rash of players that will miss part of the season this year because of COVID or whatever other issues might arise. But I think the guys are taking every precaution they can, you know, to prepare for the season.
Steve, I'm wondering, with all the talk about realignment, we keep hearing about Texas and Oklahoma, they want to leave the Big 12, going to the SEC. Kenny and I were talking about conferences in the Power Five. Do we need to be in the Big Ten if you're Ohio State football?
Man, that's a great question, and it kind of strikes at the heart of what's going on right now, because Texas and Oklahoma, you know, obviously the news is that they want to move to the SEC and that the Big 12 is just not suitable for them anymore from basically a revenue standpoint as much as anything else. And a lot of what happens in college football and college athletics right now is tied back to the regular season television packages with each of these conferences. And the Big Ten's got a pretty good deal right now with the Big Ten Network that's been wildly successful. They got it off the ground back in 2007, and it's got a tremendous valuation right now, and the schools get tremendous revenue off of that. But also your network contracts, you know, how the Big Ten's got contracts with Fox and ABC and ESPN and then the Big Ten Network. So they've got kind of a 4 or 5 pronged TV attack there, and they have CBS that gives them a little bit of money for some college basketball games each year as well. So, you know, it's very interesting in what direction college football and college athletics is going to take. I mean, we are in such a shifting sands type period here with the name, image, and likeness.
Right.
Expansion of the college football playoff potentially from 4 to 12 teams. And now, you know, essentially you have to label this as realignment. We went through realignment about a decade ago with teams jumping and moving like Nebraska and then later on Rutgers and Maryland. To my way of thinking, the Big Ten does not need to add any schools that do not add value. Do not go out of your way, again, to add more Marylands and Rutgers. I mean, it was all they were there for was the geographical footprint and not necessarily what they brought for you in terms of competitiveness and you know, that type of thing. I think, and again, Ohio State lost $60 million, give or take, last year because of COVID and not having live fans, you know, live gates there at the football games. And is this decision, and I assume Texas and Oklahoma probably in the same boat, is this a decision driven by that? Not that they're going to get all that money back in 1 year, but it's forced them to look at their economics and say, if we can do more and better in another conference and it helps us monetarily as well as competitively, then why not? And there have been some thoughts that college football was going to go to 4 16-team mega conferences and that one of the Power Five conferences would be snuffed out. And now it looks like that it could very well be the Big 12, although there's still some viable schools in that league that are out there. It's they seem to be the ones getting squeezed right now with the two top schools, Texas and Oklahoma, bolting. So I know, geez, we could sit here and debate about it, talk about it for days, and what the ins and outs are. I have a lot of thoughts about it, obviously, but I don't know how a 16-team conference works, because this was years ago. The WAC and the Mountain West tried it. There was 8 teams in both those leagues. They got together for a few years, and nobody was happy. You can't keep 16 schools happy. There's only one champion at the end of the year, and I don't know how that works. And my guess is we're going to go through a phase where there's going to be consolidation, and in about 10 years after that, they're going to bust it up, and it'll be truly the haves all moving to 1 or 2 conferences, and the have-nots eventually ending up outside. So that may be the direction they're
Steve,
headed.
Steve, let me ask you about the haves. The Big Ten Network, for instance, is the Big Ten Network big enough that if Ohio State were to leave in football – that they wouldn't be shown weekly on one of the big networks?
Yeah, I think you make a good point there. You know, again, it's so complicated with the way the contracts and everything are drawn up. I think Big Ten schools are basically contracted to stay together for another 3 or 4 years. That's part of the issue with Texas and Oklahoma. They are contracted to be with the Big 12, I believe, through 2025. That's 5 full football seasons before they could jump and take their teams elsewhere, or they would have to pay an exit fee somewhere around $70 million or something, which is pretty sizable. So I think they are of a mind, we'll wait this out, play the long game, and look for the pot of gold, you know, in the 20 – in. This is crazy. In the decade of the 2030s, you know, they're
wow.
That's how far out they're looking at this. So, you raise a good point. Ohio State's always going to have exposure wherever they go, you know, whatever they do. I mean, I think from a tradition standpoint, and always playing, you know, the likes of Michigan, Indiana, Illinois, whoever it may be. I have a hard time wondering how Ohio State turns their back on that. And yet, you know, in this era where we're so connected, do you really need to keep the geographical rivalries, and can you just pick and choose from a national basis who you want to play? So I don't know, guys. It is a complete crapshoot trying to figure out exactly where these dominoes are going to fall. And, you know, again, you don't need to devalue your overall product by adding non-entity schools. I mean, you immediately hear, and this is one, you know, West Virginia, you know, you look at them, would they be perfect to join the ACC? Possibly. But, you know, with only 3 or 4 million people in the entire state, do they bring enough TV homes to where it's justified for the ACC to add them? You know, I don't know. I mean, the Big 12 took them because it got them into the Eastern time zone, which, you know, good, bad, whatever you want to say about it. So, I don't know. I'm interested to see what direction it goes. Same time, it gives me a bit of a headache. And, you know, again, we've seen so many great rivalries like Nebraska, Oklahoma, although they're going to play this year in a non-conference game. Texas, Texas A&M, West Virginia, Pitt all go by the wayside because of realignment. Now we're going to have that happen again.
All right, Steve, I'm going to change gears here, and I'm going to go rapid fire with you, okay, based on Big Ten media days. Did you guys vote on, who's going to win the East, who's going to win the West, and who's going to win the Big Ten?
Yeah, there were a couple polls. I know Cleveland.com did one, and our network 24/7 Sports did one, and it was pretty clear in at least the one that I paid the most attention to, our network, that it was going to be Ohio State unanimously in the one division, Wisconsin in the other by a close margin over Iowa. I think they're going to have a real battle in that division. Those are probably the top two teams in that division. And it was interesting, in our poll, Penn State was next, followed by Indiana, who applied so much pressure last year. And then Michigan, clear down at number four, picked below Indiana, which is the first time in, probably 50 years or 60 years, something like that, been, you know, picked in the Big Ten. So certainly not in my lifetime. So, and I'm 53 years old. So, you know, it is uncharted territory. And Jim Harbaugh, you know, said that they would do everything they could to beat Ohio State, beat Michigan State, their rivals, and do it or die trying. So they're coming off the year, obviously, that was what nobody wanted up there, and they're trying to put some pieces back together.
Yeah, good luck, Jim. Anyways, move along here to the Buckeyes quarterback situation. Did Ryan Day shed any light on the leader in the clubhouse right now at quarterback? Is it indeed C.J. Stroud, or has somebody else put the pressure on?
No, he didn't put any kind of thought on that. Stroud was seen to be the number one guy at the end of the spring with the true freshman Kyle McCord sitting second, and possibly Jack Miller, the other redshirt freshman, sitting third. But, again, we weren't privy to all 15 days of camp, so it could be closer than we think. The order could be different than we think. But they have 25 practices in preseason camp, and they'll get right into it. And he's hoping maybe as soon as 2 weeks before that first game with Minnesota to have a decision and start giving, you know, first-team reps to the guy who's going to play and continue to develop the others. So I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. But he may not name anybody all the way up until warm-ups. You just never know. So hard to say, but I think Stroud's got the inside track.
And correct me if I'm wrong on this, Steve. The quarterback that they do pick, isn't he basically just the distributor of the football? Don't they just need him not to win games, but to distribute the football and not to lose games? Don't try and do too much. Get the ball to your, arguably the best wide receiving core in the country, a solid stable of running backs, tight ends that are going to be a factor with a good offensive line.
Yeah, I think you put it perfectly, because the other 10 guys on offense are all experienced players, maybe not returning starters, but right. You've got three guys back on the offensive line. The other two guys who are going to start, whether it's Matthew Jones, Paris Johnson, whoever it may be, those guys have also played some football, you know, on the offensive line filling in. And the same thing at running back. If it's not Master Teague, then, Mayan Williams has played. Travion Henderson, a true freshman, hasn't played, but he's probably got the highest ceiling of the group. And a wide receiver, you've got the best tandem in the country, Olave, Garrett Wilson. You got Jackson Smith, the Jigba, who's really emerging. And then you've got a couple of freshmen, Marvin Harrison and Mika Buka, who really came on in the spring. So you've got pieces around this quarterback. And if the other 10 guys do their job, it would be nearly impossible for the quarterback to fail, other than if he threw the ball to the guys in the wrong jersey. That'd be about the only thing that guy could do, because he's going to have a clean pocket and he's going to have wide open receivers. So that's a good combination.
Steve, I want to ask you one last question about the pandemic, because we saw what happened last year. Play 1 week, another team maybe steps aside, but they weren't really penalized. After hearing what the NFL may have intentions on doing, making teams either forfeit matches and games or whatever, have you heard anything from the NCAA or the Big Ten? Have they spoken about, if there is another outbreak, will teams have to forfeit games or just not play games? And if they do, will it reflect on their record?
That's a great question. I have not heard an answer from that. Kevin Warren, the commissioner, was asked about a lot of different scenarios and didn't seem to have answers for any of them. And, you know, I think last year showed that there can be some flexibility. They pushed the championship game back a couple of weeks to about the 18th or whatever it was last year. I think that Saturday may fall on the 19th, maybe this year. I don't know. I don't have the count in front of me. But at any rate, it's potential, and I'm not saying anybody has suggested they do that yet. But if, from an industry-wide standpoint, mm-hmm. there are widespread cancellations, they want to play those games. You know, they need the revenue from mm-hmm. those games. That has been borne out. So if they have to move the championship games back 2 weeks, the precedent's been set, they can do it and put a little bit of wiggle room, you know, at the end of the schedule. I'm not suggesting anybody's talking about that yet. I'm just saying, you know, if it gets real bad, they could do that. So, I don't think anybody wants to do that, because you want to set your pairings in early December so that you can have, you know, a regular, as much close to normal type Final Four and championship game. But, you know, again, so much is going to happen between now and then. We just hope that everybody stays safe at this point and can get through the season unscathed.
All right, one last question. We'll let you go, Steve Hellwagon. Mm-hmm. On the defensive side of the ball, Jack Sawyer, impact freshman, in my opinion, can come in and play right away. What about JT Tuimoloa? Is he going to be another impact guy as a true freshman coming in?
I think Ryan Day made the point that he's got a lot of ground to make up. And this is something we talked about all spring and summer with this kid, is that waiting until basically late July to arrive at your college doesn't set you up for a lot of success the first year. And I think it may take him probably till October the 1st, till he is where he needs to be. Wow. He could have a dynamite second half of the season, though, and really impact, you know, where things are headed. So, and they did say he was working out on his own, but that's not the same as working out, obviously, with the team and being part of you know, the fold and learning the scheme and everything else that goes with it. So I think it's going to take him a while to get going. Jack Sawyer should be hitting the ground running. I liked what I heard from Zach Harrison. It sounds like he is determined to have an outstanding year as a defensive end. If he and Tyreek Smith can set the tone up front and then allow the young guys to come in behind him, make a few plays and rotate in and out and everything else, defense could be, lights out again. But we want to see those pieces come together, beginning with that opener against Minnesota. Going to be very telling.
Okay, I lied. One more. I always do this to you. Jack Sawyer, though, if he's good enough, Ryan Day isn't the coach that's going to be loyal to a fault and play his seniors who aren't better. If Jack Sawyer's the best player, he's going to play, isn't he?
Yes, I do believe that.
Okay.
I think that if he is proven to be the best player against top competition, then yes, I think. And he'll show it in practice, and they'll know it. I mean, it'll be apparent to everybody, so. He made some great plays in the spring game. It didn't seem doing that against Thayer Munford, though. You follow what I'm saying? So,
right.
I need him to show me, you know, as they get into the season against Minnesota's top tackle, against Oregon's top tackle, and so on, that, hey, he is ready to compete at that level. That's when you'll know. If you see him out there in the first quarter of one of those first two games making a play, then you're like, oh, you know, this kid deserves more playing time. So that's going to be the the deciding factor, I think.
The reason I say that is I'm concerned about the first two games. I know Minnesota, they're not great, but still, first time the quarterback will start a game and throw a football in college football, that's a concern to me on the road. And then Oregon is the second game, and they've got a hell of an defensive lineman as well. So that's why I need my best players playing those first 2 weeks for the Buckeyes so they don't stub their toe early, Steve.
No, I agree. It's not a soft launch, as we've seen in some past seasons where they open with a patsy or – whatever. It is tough, you know, and that will be very telling. As we said, we're going to know a lot about this team after the first two games, and then they play, I believe, Tulsa, which was a contender in the American last year. Again, you know, not necessarily, I mean, they played Cincinnati tough and they beat Central Florida last year. So, you know, I don't know. It's going to be, really, don't overlook them either. I think the first three games are all going to be hard-hitting games. Ohio State should be favored by at least a touchdown in all three of them, and you know several probably against Minnesota and Tulsa. But, yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how they open the year.
Great stuff as always, Steve Hellwagon, Bucknuts.com. Keep up the fantastic work. You and your teammates do a great job. We can't wait for the season to get started, and we'll be checking the website out on a regular basis and hopefully chatting with you throughout the season as well.
All right, guys. Take care.
Steve Hellwagon. Check him out on Twitter, at Steve Hellwagon. The website, Bucknuts.com. If you're a Buckeye fan, it's definitely something you want to make one of your favorite pages on your laptop, on your phone, on your iPad, so you can check that out on a daily basis. We'll get a break in right now. Come back, wrap things up here on the Kenny and JT Show. Stay with us.